As the last time I spoke from the Psalms, we had a Christmas meditation on Psalm 23. Today we're going to have a New Year's meditation on Psalm 1. It's customary for us here in America to wish people a Happy New Year around this time of year when we see someone. Happy New Year. And that's a kind thing to do, I would think. Certainly much better than wishing people a depressed or disappointed, disturbed, hopeless, melancholy, morose, painful, sad, sorrowful, troubled, and unhappy New Year. Well, I do wish you today a Happy New Year. But given that Psalm 1 calls us to sing of blessedness, the condition of being a blessed man, that true joy and happiness and fulfillment, what are we really saying when we say Happy New Year? What are we wishing for? Do I merely wish that you would have good luck? That you would get what you want this year? What do I wish for you in 2016? I'd like to answer that question from Psalm 1. First of all, when I say Happy New Year, I wish you to desire God this year. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 say, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." I want you to make the one true God your one true desire in this year. Now that means, as the psalm points out here, that I wish you to renounce the way of the ungodly, to stay far from that path. That means you refuse to think according to their advice, to behave according to their example, or to belong to their gang. You will not go that way because you know its end. You reject it, no matter how appealing it may seem in the short term. The poet Gwendolyn Brooks, I think in her poem, "We Real Cool," captures the faux community, the arrogant pretension, and the futile ending of the mockers that Psalm 1 talks about. This was published in 1960. Her observations in Chicago, "We Real Cool." The pool players, seven at the Golden Shovel. We real cool. We left school. We lurk late. We strike straight. We sing sin. We thin gin. We jazz June. We die soon. This is life for the scorner. And this is the way of life to renounce, to refuse, to reject in all of its manifestations, in all of its ways. It's rebellion against God. It's refusal to acknowledge God in all of our ways. But that means also that I wish you to delight in God's instruction. Delight in the law of the Lord, morning, noon, and night. Feast your soul on the riches that you find in God's law. You see, your loyal love for the Lord, your commitment to Him, shows in how you delight in His instructions. That's what His law is referring to here, His covenant instructions. Sometimes when we think of law today, we think a book of statutes like would be found down at the local courthouse. But God's law is His covenant instructions to us, which does include certainly commands about what you must and must not do, but a whole way of thinking and living, of loving. And this is your delight. I think we see the wisdom of the Word of God here when the Psalm says that the blessed man, the truly happy man, delights in, desires, takes pleasure in the instruction of the Lord. Because it forces you to ask, where is your heart's desire? What do you really want out of life in 2016? What do you hope will happen that you would consider to be good, that would really make you feel great? Well, when your desire is to know the Lord, then these laws, these instructions, are going to be what you delight in, because they're the instructions for knowing God. This is how you know Him. Here's the path. Here's it's marked out. God says this: blessed are those who keep His testimonies, Psalm 119:2, who seek Him with their whole heart. Why are they keeping His testimonies? Why are they thinking about them, practicing them? Because they're seeking Him. With my whole heart I seek You. Let me not wander from Your commandments. I have stored up Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Psalm 119:10-11. You see, when you delight in the Lord's law, what you're desiring is desiring God. You're seeking Him. And so let me urge you today to do everything you can this year to learn God's instructions, to make that a focal point of your commitment. Learn God's instructions. Read it. Read the Scriptures, God's written word. And I may sound like a broken record because I say this at the beginning of every year, but let me say it again. You must have a plan to read God's word. Otherwise, it won't happen in your life. You'll read it haphazardly, hit and miss, here and there. You won't be gleaning all the riches that are there for you. Do you have a committed plan to read God's word this year? I trust you do. Because if you do, you're showing you're the kind of a person who is desiring God this year. So if you don't have one, get one. If you need one, ask me for it. I can give you about 30 of them. And you can read God's word. You need to be meditating on it. It's just there's no option in your life. If you want to know God, you have to delight in His law. You have to meditate on it day and night. Discuss it then with your fellow believers. Remember, we talked about this meditation that verse 2 speaks of as a kind of, even at times, discussion about things. That in a real sense, what we're doing here together this morning is all under the umbrella of that word meditation here in this text. We are meditating on it. If you want to know God this year, pursue after Him in the company of those who also love His law and want to discuss and want to learn it. Make it your commitment to be with His people as frequently as you possibly can be, to learn His ways, to discuss His truth. We show our priority, we show our commitments in what we get together to do. We've just come off a season where it feels like, you know, in our society we have a lot of Christmas parties and things of that nature. And those are all fine things in their place. But if you desire God, what you do is meditate on it day and night with His people. I would urge you this year to make especially the Lord's Day, the market day of the soul, as it's been called. You would set aside some of those money-making opportunities because God's law is more valuable to you than thousands of gold or silver. That you would set aside some of those entertainment opportunities because there's true pleasure here that those things can never give. And that you would invest that time then in knowing God's word. That you would make a commitment to be with God's people, to hear the teaching and preaching of God's word. That you would love to meet with your fellow believers, to pray over the word of God, to think about the word of God. This is the characteristic of the blessed man. Resolve then also to obey. It's very simple, but it's so important that as you enter into this new year and you commit yourself to thinking of God's truth, that you open your heart and you resolve to conform it to whatever God says is true. No matter what. Just make that your commitment for all of life, but right now. No matter what God says, if He says something, I believe it. I want to conform myself to it. I want to obey it. If there's an action that needs to be done, I want to do it. We're not reading God's Word just to become wise in our own conceits. We're not studying this just to become known as scholars of ancient Near Eastern literature or something of that nature. We're studying this because this is our life. We want to know God. Which means we want to walk with Him. We want to practice what He says to practice. We want to avoid what He says to avoid. We want to be where He's at. We want to move where He moves. This is what we want. You see, this is the man who desires God. And this is the man who is truly joyful. When I say Happy New Year, I wish you to desire God this year. Secondly, when I say Happy New Year, I wish you to draw on God's life this year. Or to put it a different way, to have that enduring life and fruitfulness that the psalm puts before us. Psalm 1, 3, and 4. He, this blessed man, is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. It's emphatic. Not so, the wicked. But are like chaff that the wind drives away. A tremendous contrast here. When I say, I wish you to draw on God's life, that means I wish you to be like a tree. Now think with me about what that means. Sometimes the imagery that the Bible uses isn't the same imagery we would naturally gravitate to today. So when I say, I wish you were like a tree, here's what the Bible means by that. The Bible often uses the image of a living, fruitful tree. In fact, from the moment of creation onwards, when God speaks about the Garden of Eden and talks specifically of the trees that He created there. The prophet Jeremiah uses this image to contrast the man who trusts in man versus the man who trusts in the Lord. That man is like the living, fruitful tree. The streams of water that this psalm speaks of evoke God's life-giving presence. For example, Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God is there. He is present. He is pouring out His life to His creatures. God cares for His trees. The Psalms say, the trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. The cedars of Lebanon that He planted, Psalm 104:16. And then the blessed man enjoys that tender care from the Lord. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God, Psalm 92:12-13. So when you trust in the Lord, His inexhaustible life becomes yours in Christ. And that bears fruit. You take up that life into yourself and transform it into spiritual fruit. Jesus spoke often of this. He told the Samaritan woman at the well, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You'll be fruitful and life-giving forever. So, as John also says, as you abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit. Exactly what this psalm is talking about. You see, this is the kind of life that cannot be affected by changeable circumstances because there's an unchanging source of life. There's nothing that overcomes it. You don't know what's going to come your way this year. Not a one of us sitting here today knows what's going to happen to us in 2016. It may very well be that by the end of the year, some of the people I'm looking at today will not be here. Will be dead. Could very well be the case. Some of you could be in a very different life situation than you're in right now. And there's no way for you to predict that. But you do know, if you are rooted in Christ, that you have the resources to be faithful and fruitful. Whatever comes your way. You lose a job. You lose your health. You gain your health. Whatever comes your way, you have the resources to be faithful and fruitful. In other words, you can prosper. As the psalm says, in all that he does, he prospers. And the emphasis, I believe, even in the grammar there, is on the person prospering. He's succeeding. In other words, God can make his plan succeed in the hands of one who meditates on his law day and night. He will accomplish his good plan in and through your life. Just like Joshua. We've been reading through the book of Joshua now in our public scripture readings on Sunday mornings. And Joshua was told something extremely similar to Psalm 1 at the very beginning of that book. That he was to meditate on God's law day and night. That he was not to turn from it to the right hand or to the left. And if he did that, he would prosper. He would succeed in accomplishing God's mission, God's purpose. He would lay up eternal treasure by doing so. And that's exactly the kind of person you want to be this year, like Joshua. That means that I do not wish you to be, or I should say, I wish you not to be like chaff. That dead, worthless husk. It's really quite the contrast from the solidly rooted tree. Unlike the solidly rooted tree, even the slightest puff of wind blows the chaff around wherever. In contrast with the fruitfulness and the abundance of the well-watered tree, the chaff is barren. It has no life in it. In fact, all it is the leftover remains of fruitfulness. Reading this, in some ways, though, reminds us that this is a counterintuitive picture of the wicked. For in this life, it often looks like the wicked are the green tree. Psalm 37 says, I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. He looks like he has it all. He's prospering. He's making money hand over fist. He's doing great. He's got everything he wants. He's got his nice house. He's got his toys, his gadgets. He's free to go play his games and do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to spend time in church on Sunday. He can go out camping or go out fishing or, go to the football game. He sure seems to be enjoying life. You see, it's only the man who pays attention to what God has said, who really understands life through the instruction of God's law, that knows that the wicked will not stand in the judgment. That what seems to be in the present so wonderful for them is actually only turning them into fuel for the fire, a tree that will be cut down and burned, that will not endure. And so, may the fruit of the Spirit be yours in abundance this year. I wish that a holy love for God and your neighbor would so fill your heart this year that you would be filled with all the fruits of righteousness to the glory and praise of God, as the scripture says. That's what I wish for you in this happy new year. And third, when I say happy new year, I wish the Lord to know your way this year and forever. Verses 5 and 6 say, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. When we sing Psalm 1, we are singing of a total contrast of destinies between the righteous and the wicked. The Lord does not know the wicked. What does that mean? It says here in the text that he purges them from the congregation of the righteous. They will not have a place there. They will not be able to arise in the judgment before the face of a holy God. He destroys them in judgment. The way of the wicked will perish. It will be destroyed. From this you can see what it means for the Lord to know you. It means that God embraces you as His own. that he commits himself to your eternal well-being. That's what it means for him to know you. It means he sets his love upon you. He accomplishes your deliverance. He brings you to himself to live with him forever so that he can give you his love. That's what it means for the Lord to know you. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. How does he accomplish this? Jesus said it this way. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. For the Lord to know the way of the righteous means that he gives his own Son to redeem them, to take them to himself, so that they can enjoy the love that the Father and Son have enjoyed for all of eternity. Jesus went on to say in that very passage in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Eternal life. God's kind of life. God's kind of life that can never end, that can never run out of resources, that can never be exhausted, and he gives it to them. He makes it live in them because he knows them. He knows them, and they follow him. The Apostle Paul said it this way, God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. I wish the Lord to know your way this year, and this year as simply this point in going on forever. There really is so much joy to be had this year and forever. So much joy. And when I say Happy New Year, it means that I don't want you to settle for anything less than the fullness of joy in the presence of God. Don't settle for what this world calls joy. Don't let it tempt you with its little sweeties that can never satisfy. Go after real joy. Go after full joy. Happy New Year to you. When we say Happy New Year as followers of Jesus Christ, it really has relatively little to do with hoping you get a raise or hoping your business turns a profit this year. It has relatively little to do with hoping your favorite candidate wins the presidential election, with hoping that you have a lot of fun times this year, with hoping that you can take your dream vacation that you've really been wanting to take for a long time, go see that place you wanted to see. Those things might all happen, or might not. That's really not what we're saying when we say Happy New Year. It has everything to do with knowing God, and God knowing you. For that's true blessedness. Do you know God, and does God know you? As you start off this new year, are you one of his? Have you seriously considered your relationship with God as the true and ultimate good of your life? For that is the only thing that will endure. All the things that we get so invested in the here and now, will pass away. All the things to which we attach our fleeting happiness will turn to ash someday. But the one who is blessed, the one who is like a tree planted by streams of water, is the one the Lord knows. Does he know you, and do you know him? Are you pursuing after that knowledge of him? In closing today, I would simply like to wish you a truly happy New Year.